So
anyone wants to see this for how much money?
$5.
Jesus. Okay, that's fine. We can start slow.
Welcome to The Thought Dish. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Kayla.
And what's on your plate today, Kayla?
Alcohol and holidays. Just going right into it. I just got done celebrating St. Patrick's Day. And also there's been like a plethora of things that have happened over the past week, but also like just over the course of a few years of like that combination of things and what makes it like alcohol consumption healthy, if there is even a thing, and what makes an addict, and when is fun not fun anymore when you're involving alcohol, all those things.
Yeah, you just went in the deep end real fast. You're like, the worst topic that we could ever cover, alcoholism.
I mean, I kind of, and for our area, I feel like it's very appropriate too, to be honest.
We are the binge drinking capital of the world.
Us in Wisconsin.
But they have at least cheese. We don't have cheese.
No, we don't.
We just have beer.
Also, Wisconsin's like beautiful. And I feel like North Dakota doesn't have much unless you go like that way.
I think one of the things is growing up in North Dakota, we suddenly hate it and dislike it more. Because we also see the underbelly more. Like people in Wisconsin probably are like, yeah, we have the same bullshit as you do. But we definitely like to celebrate our holidays by consuming alcohol. I never really had much of an issue with that as much as other people I know.
I definitely did. I had a lot of problems with celebrating holidays. And I kind of saw a little bit of that happen in my mind when I was drinking on St. Patrick's Day too, of how it could have definitely gotten much more carried away than it did. And it's, I think, like just thinking about like addiction mm-hmm. in general with that and where my family's come from and how I was raised and looking at my relatives and things like that and seeing like, okay, I can go one of two ways. I can either figure out where I'm at and like pause and like think, okay, like you can probably stop drinking now.
Right.
Or there's like the monster of me that's like, you can keep going and you can go bar hop and you're just having fun and like make all those excuses. And I was there for a minute and then like came back to reality and it's like, what are you doing? Like, why would you go out and about when all of your friends and all the people you went out with are right here?
Right.
There's nothing for you out there. So why is that like little creepy voice saying that thing? So it was just interesting. And then it put into perspective a lot of different things that have happened over the past few years with me and my family and like figuring out like what makes an addict and like when is there too much fun with alcohol?
Right. Because like, technically, alcohol is not actually good for you. And like, we just consume it to have fun. I love how Kayla's over there. She's still coloring. She's still coloring with all her pens.
Yeah.
But now you can see her reaching for pens as she colors.
For $5, you can.
$5 a month. You can see all of this. But for me, it was never something like that. I always had everything prepped and ready to go. Like, going out to drink required me to have everything together and everything where it needs to be before I could do it. And I never got so drunk that I black out. I'm still terrified of blacking out and not knowing what happens. And part of it is a control issue because of trauma. And I think, ironically, my trauma is what's prevented me from going the other direction, even though trauma could cause it to go the other way.
That's good. You took the good portion of it. Yeah. Good
drama.
I feel like I went the opposite way. And then now I'm finding my way, or I have been finding my way back to the good side over the past few years. But it's still like rocky terrain a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's hard too, because it's not something people like to talk about either. People don't want to be the Debbie Downer. Like, I'm always the Debbie Downer. Mm-hmm. I am the, if you're drinking tonight, do you need a ride? Are you driving? Like, did you drink water? Have you eaten? Like, I am the mother hen, and I always worry that I've pissed off people because I've gone in there and be like, you're not driving, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. And
here's another question though with that. Yeah, exactly. Here's another question with that. That's what I was going to say. The people that get defensive about it, it's like, why would you get defensive over someone offering you water or a ride home? Right. Unless there's something more to the situation at hand.
People off of bar stools to be like, we're going now.
Yeah.
Sober me is grumpy when I'm around a bunch of drunk people.
Well, same. I mean, like, that's so hard because you're like, you're at a different level than I am. You're like in this other mindset.
I'm like toddlers.
I'm annoyed.
And none of you have like the leash and I have to like bring you all in.
Yep.
But even when I'm drinking, I am the, are you sure you should be driving? And that's so hard for me too, because there's people like, you get people get DUIs, people, you know, have all these things, they go out and do stuff, they do stupid stuff. And I, even as a drunk person, can't fathom it because I'm like, oh no, you shouldn't be driving, you had too many. I had friends where I would, in the back of my mind, well, I'm shit-faced, by the way, shit-faced, cannot stand up straight, know how many drinks they've had.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm definitely not that self-aware when I'm drinking. But like, not because at all. Or I have aware to, of everyone else.
I have to trust. Like, unless they say, like, okay, I got a ride, then I won't do the counting. But if they are like, no, I drove here, I'm going to have a couple of drinks and then I'll drive home, I am very aware of how many drinks they've had.
Interesting. You're going to be such a good mom.
I hate it. Whoever that future child is, I am sorry. This is me. Before you're even an inkling in my existence, apologizing.
Did your parents drink growing up?
Not really. They would have alcohol that was there for a really long time. Like, they probably have some vodka that they bought when I was like 10 and then they drink it when I'm 17.
That was my great grandparents. So like our neighbors that we grew up with, they were like that, where they had like old liquor that had dust on the bottles. Oh, yeah. And whatever.
100%
like,
dust on the bottles.
Yeah.
I knew where the cabinet was too. Like, I could have stolen it at any time.
Yep. Same.
But at the same time, there was two factors that went into that. One, both my parents are disabled. So mixing alcohol and drugs that you have to take to keep yourself functioning, a terrible mix. And trust me, I've been there. I've mixed and immediately afterwards go, I need to go back to the hotel room. Like within 5 minutes of like having, I'm like, oh, this is great fun. And then I like stop and I'm like, I need to go back to the hotel. Because my whole body's like, we are about to leave you. Like, you and your brain are about to be two different entities and I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, that's actually helped me too, because I am on medication now. There is a point where my body's like, you're going to get sick.
Yeah.
If you keep drinking, which has helped me and my, I guess, alcoholism. Because
other issues of now.
There are, I've always had issues with alcohol, and like, even though it is like a fun thing and we use it to celebrate a lot of the time, I think just like doing my little deep dive that I do about addiction is like this genetic disposition of everyone in my family drinking all the time. Like for anything. It wasn't just holidays. It was right. Like to celebrate anything, any excuse.
Yeah. I mean, my family didn't really go celebrate with other people either. So I think that also makes a difference. We celebrated with ourselves. We didn't really go, like, we did for a while. And we've talked about stories like that too, where shit happened and then we never went back to that side of the family again. But I think the other half was, I think my mother's own trauma with, she wasn't supposed to have kids. Like, every doctor she talked to was like, I'll never have kids. And then I accidentally showed up. And I think that made her constantly vigilant, because she did drink more when I was older, when I wasn't needed to be taken care of. And we also had moved away from either of my parents' like support system. So there wasn't anybody who could say like babysit us. So there wasn't any of like, well, we could go out and party with friends. No, because there's no one really there. I had a babysitter and my parents did go out once in a while, but it was usually for like very planned events. And one of them would drink and the other one wouldn't. So that doesn't mean
you grew up, though, I feel like, then with healthy boundaries around alcohol, which I didn't have that. It was a very like, we're going to go drinking and drive around and we're going to listen to music. And like, so I remember being in like vans and pickups and like hanging out with my parents and their friends and they're driving around drinking. Like, there's like boxes of beer in the vehicle. Yeah. And like, that was normal.
My parents also had me when they were older too.
Yeah, that's true.
My dad, my dad told me about stories like when he was younger. Like, he's like, yeah, I tried that. I've done that. I've hit the thing with that and had all that sort of stuff. He had me when he was in his 30s, like mid to late 30s. So my mom was 31. Mm-hmm. My mom was my age.
Yep.
So, and think of how we interact with alcohol now too. Like, we're even having this conversation being like, there is a limit.
Mm-hmm. And if you would have talked to me 10 years ago, I would have been like, shut up. Don't ask me if I need water. You don't know me.
And imagine having a kid at that point, you would have been probably rehashing what your parents had.
Oh yeah.
Because that's what you were in. That was the stage of life you were in.
My sisters and I talked about that on St. Patrick's Day, of like having those we're at a bar right now on St. Patrick's Day having a conversation about how mature we are around the substance. Like, how weird is this? But so cool too at the same time.
Right. Or we have coming up, we have a Christmas in July, which I don't even know when this comes out. It will be a couple months anyway, no matter what we do. Yeah. We're planning ahead.
Right.
We're so adult. But we are literally getting hotel rooms. So if people drink, like, yes, we want to partake in alcohol. Like, that's part of the event, but you don't get to go home.
No.
Like, if you're drinking too much, you stay here. We have rooms for a reason. We're doing this in a space in which you can stay.
Right. And I think the option is always there. Whether people take us up on that opportunity is up to them. We were talking about DUIs before. Getting on today live and like, or not live, but recording and
live Saturday Night Live.
That'll be a trip if that ever happens.
On Saturday. We're recording early because there might be some snow coming. So we're like, we don't want to.
Right. We just don't want to play that game. I forgot what I was saying now. Shoot.
DUIs.
Yeah. I had one and I think that was enough to like shake up my need, want, whatever the hell that was with drinking and driving, because I thought I was invincible before I had a DUI. I was constantly driving drunk, and it's like even weird to admit that right now, but that's what it was. I would do it all the time. It was like, I got here, I'm gonna take my vehicle home with me.
I think it's the perfect catalyst of, and I never really hit it because I am too traumatized. My trauma says I'm inadequate and I'm gonna break, and I also had to have surgery really young. But the perfect catalyst between being able to drink in your 20s and your 20s being the time in which you think you'll never die.
Right.
So it's like, let's make the worst combo ever.
Yep. Well, I think with me too, like thinking about, obviously alcoholism runs in my family. So there's that genetic predisposition of being an addict. Mm-hmm. But I think also because we saw it so young, we also partook in it so young. So then when I got up to Fargo and I was like, oh my God, the big city and all the bars and stuff, and turned 21, it was like, it was an adventure and it was fun. And I already had such a high tolerance that I could go and hang out with like the older crowd. And like, it was super fun. And I got to like hang out with the 30 somethings and it was like so much fun and whatever, but it got me like obviously addicted to alcohol. And then I would make those amazing decisions for myself at the end of the night.
Yeah. I mean, my friend group in my 20s makes me feel like I'm elderly because we literally would go to one bar. We'd plan it. We'd go to one bar and we'd fucking stay there.
That's what we did on St. Patrick's Day. And it was so nice.
Right. You get to, and also like if you continuously go to the same bar, we were doing it because one, it was close to a couple of us where we were living. Specifically me, I could have walked home and I had once or twice. And it was one of those ones that had a bouncer and it had a cover fee after a certain time. So we felt that some of the crazies wouldn't be there because you have to pay to get in. You're not going to pay. It was $5. $5 to get in.
So you're like, that's like two beers back then.
Right. You know, or the amount of people.
Or more, depending on where you were going.
People that would show up at like midnight knowing that there was only an hour left and then complain that they still had to pay $5. It's like, then don't come here.
That's another thing I've realized, just my little bit. I mean, obviously I have a lot more traveling to do and I will, mm-hmm. but the little bit of traveling I've done, we are so cheap when it comes to our alcohol. Like, it is insane to me, the difference.
Our entrance fees.
Yeah.
And cover fees. In.
Yeah.
Because I was in Minneapolis and one of my friends wasn't allowed in because his hat didn't have a bend in the the bill of it. And then the bouncer didn't like him, being like, you got to bend it. What if I took the hat off? Well, I don't want you in here anymore.
That's so weird.
Like, he just decided. My one friend who's like the nicest dude ever.
That's so weird.
The nicest dude ever. Didn't want him in there.
Huh.
That was also the same time that my Brazilian margaritas and my hydrocodone was kicking in. And so I had to go back to the hotel room. So he came back with me. And we're like, I gotta go back. We have to leave.
We need to go anyways. It's fine.
I'm like, I have to go. Would you like to ride with me? He's like, yeah, I'll get the Uber. He was like, I'll get the Uber. Don't worry about it. Like, the nicest dude. He was just like, suddenly you can do it. Because he had a flat brimmed hat that had a sticker still on it because he liked his. He collected hats. Like, literally, he collected hats.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, he can't come in. But I also didn't want to go into any of those clubs. Everybody was literally squished together. And it terrified me. I wonder if that's why some people drink when they go to clubs, because there's no room. You have to drink otherwise.
Well, and see, that's what I, like, when you got to a certain point of drinking, you didn't care. You know, it was just like, yeah, pile me in. Don't care. Like, I'm going to be there anyway.
Relate.
Yeah. That's what I felt like anyway for me.
But when you're talking about addiction, it's funny because, and this is a little bit of a trigger warning, like, we've talked about my binge eating before. And technically that is my addiction. And that same scenario, I think the next year I went to that same event in Minneapolis, and we decided to go to this like all you can eat Brazilian steakhouse. That was $50. $50, right? That was cheap. $50. Mm-hmm. But there were so many girls that refused to go because it was $50 and they could spend $50 at drinks at the club. And so my addiction is like, no, I'm going to have that delicious fucking food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be this bomb thing. And for them, they're like, no, the priority was alcohol, not food. Why would I want
covers or whatever?
Why would I want to eat this food? Because it would stop me from getting drunk.
Yep. No, I get it. Cause I've been there. Like, that's exactly the excuses I would use, is like, why would I do that? Or like, I even remember my uncle saying, why would I ruin a $40 buzz with a $5 hamburger? Like, I remember that being a thing. So,
meanwhile, I'm like, I'm going to eat before I go. And they're like, you won't get drunk this fast. I'm like, no, I'm not intending to get drunk. I'm intending to have fun.
Right.
And I think that was my disconnect there. My addiction wasn't food. And it still technically is. My addiction is in dopamine. It's a really crazy time. Crazy time. Trying to figure that out.
Well, and I think if we all like stopped and like tried to figure out what we chase, I think that is it. Like, you know, it's the natural chemicals, but if you don't know that, or if you don't like ever take any kind of mental health or wellness kind of journey, then you're always going to just be chasing something or running away from something that you don't even know exists.
Right.
There's a deep one on a Saturday afternoon.
You guys will listen to this on a Thursday. We're sorry.
Right.
We're sorry. Not really. But it comes down to like, there's so many times in which it's not the easy route. It is just the route that you know the best, or you know the consequences of, or at least you think you do. And so you pick that route. Like if you have pain, medication's not covering it, but if you drink, it goes away.
Right.
You know, weed, same thing.
Yep.
And it's the devil you do know compared to the devil you don't. And mine was food. Still technically is. I mean, alcohol was fun, but I mean, I would drink with friends maybe once every couple months. I would binge drink for sure, which fell right into that stereotype, but other than that, nope, that was it for me. So it's so hard for me to relate to, you know, the stuff that you've gone through, the stuff, issues that I've had, as much as I can sympathize for it.
Right. Well, and it's just, I think it's just, the hand I was dealt, you know, of like there was a lot of family dysfunction too, like just a lot of, my parents were young, so there was a lot of arguments and disagreements, and like they weren't mentally or emotionally mature enough to handle those things. So then alcohol was a really easy escape, especially when you're not on a mental wellness journey and there's some mental stuff going on there too. Like, it's a lot. And then me just witnessing that, And then, you know, turning 14 and some of my friends are experimenting with alcohol and I'm like, hell yeah, I'll take a mixed drink, you know, at like, yeah, 14 years old was the first time I got drunk and it was Bacardi Limon and Mountain Dew. And it was like gross. Disgusting. I remember like tasting it and being like, this is gross. Why do people drink this? And then I was like puking like 2 hours later because it was a lot for a tiny little 14-year-old body, I'm sure. But it didn't stop me. It was kind of like a, well, I'll get better at it the more I do it kind of a thing.
That's the same thing with people who smoke. Like,
I don't know.
They get to the point, of course, you know, addiction kicks in, but the first couple times you're like, no, I'll be cool. I can do it.
Yeah. I don't know. Like maybe. Yeah. You're just trying to fit in at that age too. You're so impressionable and like everyone else is doing it. I'm just going to do it.
I think I've really given up on fitting in.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Like, we get to a certain age where we're like, why? Like, what's the point?
Well, like, at the time frame, I already knew that I wasn't going to fully fit in because I was fat. Like, that's a flat out thing. I don't care what anybody says. There are certain doors that are closed when you are a plus size woman, especially if you're a plus size kid. And I had found my friend groups, and all of them were fucking nerds. My friends were in theater. My friends were in band. My friends were
Me too. How many people were in your class again?
500.
Okay, yeah, that was a little different.
That's a little bit different.
We were friends with everybody because we had to. There was 39 of us, so it was like these extracurricular things. You're doing it, okay? I'll do it too.
So I didn't really have that as much. We'd always go hang out at friends' houses, and the parents were always there. Like, it never was a situation there. I wasn't. There was one time my mother didn't let me go to a party because she always called the parent first. You know, the very
just to make sure. Yeah, sure.
And she could hear the glass, the ice in the glass jingle as the mother was talking to her, slurring her speech. And so she wouldn't let me go to that party because the mother was intoxicated. And I was like, but I'm not going to drink. And she's like, it doesn't matter. You're not safe. And I'm like, who says I'm not safe?
She's like, this adult woman is not going to make you safe. Okay.
Right. I'm like, I don't know if she thought that like I could get molested or something worse, knowing full well that if we're at a bonfire and somebody should try to molest me, I would be charged with setting them on fire.
So funny.
But I also realize as I've gotten older, I might like fire too much as a concept. So maybe I shouldn't drink at all because alcohol and fire don't mix very well.
I mean, sometimes it depends on what you're doing.
Tiki torches, it's fine. We'll have a little luau. And
I have to show you a very redneck thing this summer. Let me know when you can. I am not. It would take a lot of coffees for you to. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you out there. It's a special thing that I show people in the flesh. Only.
She just strips down and just stands in front of a fire.
But it's a very redneck thing that you can do with fire. And it is a bonfire related thing. So I will show you this summer.
I haven't been to a bonfire in so long.
Oh, we have a fire pit on our backyard. We do it often. So just come over.
We'll just have to come over and do that. Mm-hmm. We'll have to do, if we get like 50 coffees, we'll have a
I will do the bonfire. Thing. I will do the redneck thing on film. I will do it. I just need some support first. Not podcast support right here.
I wasn't even saying that. I was saying we're just going to have like a bonfire after dark. Like, live stream. That'd but you're about to go out there and be like, look at my redneckness.
Yeah, it is a pretty redneck thing. And it also makes me think of my uncle because he's the one that like showed everybody how to do it, and it's just so cute.
As long as it's not lawn darts, which is also a very Midwestern thing.
Lawn darts with fire, that would be a thing. Oh my god, no. I don't want to play.
Don't do that. I don't want to play lawn darts anyway. Everyone wears sandals and then drinks and then lawn darts.
So is lawn darts different than beer darts?
They are, but usually by the time you get to the like three beers in, you're about to do beer darts.
Because that's the only one I played, is like when everybody's in a circle and then you like try to aim at the beer.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
It's the only thing I played. And I always end up very intoxicated.
Very like dangerous.
Very intoxicated because you have to drink.
Why do we do that? Why do we pick like the most dangerous things? We're like, we're drinking now.
I don't know.
Let's also now do surgery.
Well, people that have their legs down, I'm like, put them up. What are you doing? Don't put your feet on the ground by your beer. Are you like, these are metal darts?
Yeah. But then they also...
Your friends' aims are not that good, I promise.
They sometimes force you to stand in a circle. So, like...
No, I'm not doing that. I've never done that. No. Sitting only.
I've known some people.
Sitting.
I've known some people. We also mess with fireworks when we're drunk. Why? Why do we combine fire and holidays and beer?
Because you're, like, literally your stuff happens. Like, when you start drinking, all of your inhibitions go away. Like, you're just like everything that was once dangerous is fun. Like, that's what it is.
Like, we're going to need some fireworks out. Yep. Why?
Yeah.
We're about a 6
later.
You just hear that out of nowhere. Like, yeah. You hear just where someone goes, like, drunk and, like, where's the lighter? You're like, no, we don't even want to know what we're planning.
That's whatever it is, no.
Already illegal.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. It's a crime. But we're going to take a short break and then we'll be right back. My cat's here, like, why are you doing this, mother? But we're back. I don't even know if we sometimes need a break anymore. Our episodes are a little shorter. Maybe we should just power through the next
one. We could do that.
We could just power through until we get sponsors, until we get you lovely people donating to our coffee. Then we'll take a break again.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe. We'll change our minds.
Yeah.
We'll change our minds so many times.
Be like, that was not a good idea. This is a better idea. It's fine.
Well, we keep changing things. Like, we're recording in a different way now. So if there is an echo, I do apologize. We're using a different software now. And I'm hoping for the best because we're trying to introduce video. We're trying to be better.
There's going to be no echo. It's going to be flawless.
Flawless. It's, if there's no echo, it's probably because I edited the echo out.
Okay. That's probably fair.
But... It's one of those things too, as we were talking about, you know, alcoholism and drinking and how it's kind of a sport in North Dakota. It's kind of a pastime that if you don't participate, then you're like frowned upon.
Like, obviously the St. Patrick's Day thing happened when we were alcoholics and like we were making it an excuse to go out and get hammered. Now it's become more of a tradition to honor our friend because it was his favorite holiday. That's the reason we went out every St. Patrick's Day anyway. He made it fun because he was literally in an Irish accent the entire night. And it was really, really good. And people would believe it. Like when he was like, I'm here from Ireland because I love Fargo. It's my favorite place to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And they're like, what? And he was very Irish. Jordan Glenn Thomas, like he was very Irish. But anyway, so like, it's transformed into like this really cool night where me and my best friend get to hang out and like talk about Jordan and like how much we miss him and everything. But the Saturday before, you start drinking if you do the pub crawl at like 9 a.m.
Yeah.
The parade's at 11.
Yeah.
Like it's like a whole thing. And like, I used to do that. I know what that's like, where you're just like drinking all day long. Sometimes you can take a nap and like eat some food and keep rallying, but sometimes you just can't.
Yeah.
But it was like, I don't know, like a badge of honor to be able to do all this shit. And it was like, it's crazy to think back on it now of all the shenanigans I got into.
Or like just the holidays that we have that the main focus is drinking. Like,
yeah,
St. Patrick's Day, of course there should be other focuses to it, but it here specifically is very focused on
it's beer, green beer,
right?
Drink your green beer. Like, that's what
we went to a Chinese restaurant on St. Patrick's Day and they were even offering green beer.
Yeah,
like it is very focused on the alcohol. The pub crawl starting at 9 a.m. is ridiculous.
Well, there's Irish car bombs and Irish coffee and like all the stuff that is, there's whiskey everywhere. Like, that's what it is.
The other thing that reminds me of is college, where like homecoming, like there's things like kegs and eggs where you're drinking and eating. Like, it's built into the structure of your time in school. Like, it becomes part of it. Homecoming is alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And
when frat parties and all that stuff, yeah, like it's all these
things, like sorority sisters having things with frat boys, and like you go drinking every time you go to these. You have to go to them if you're gonna be in a sorority. Like, these are ridiculous standards
for
that are
every single holiday. You can find, yep, like you find the drinking things. Oops.
Over here smacking
mics. Just smacking it up.
She's so mad. She's smacking her mic.
But every holiday, yeah, you can just find all the drinking. Like, there's, I think, literally downtown Fargo, I'm pretty sure every single holiday has a pub crawl.
Oh, yeah.
And then in between, there's like all these random like 90s pub crawl or whatever is going on.
I was more excited about the hot chocolate crawl.
Yeah, that was cool.
I didn't get to do it, but yeah. I was really excited about its existence. I want those more.
Yeah, that was really cool. I hope they start doing things like that. I want
a smoothie crawl.
Right? Need more places to make smoothies, but yes.
Like four places.
I mean, that's not really true because the hot chocolate one, people would like make their own hot chocolate bar just for that day.
Yep.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Yep. I want a tea crawl.
Right?
Take me to random tea places.
That'd be so cool too.
I want boba.
Just like, serve your
tea.
Just like serve your favorite tea for that day. That's so cool.
There's so many tea places downtown. Maybe I should get talking to them. We're going to start planning a tea event.
There actually used to be a thing that I used to participate in that's now gone because all the people who founded it and like put it on are too old and have kids now. But it was called the Drunk Dash. Uh-huh. And it was actually for a really good cause. It was just a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
Like we started. Almost
probably dangerous amounts of drinking at some point.
We started at noon, I think. Maybe it was even earlier. And we took a group picture and that it always started at Labby's. And then you got your shirt because you got a different shirt every year that your shirt purchase went towards whatever they were doing. I think the last one that I went to, I think it was like, what is it called? Like the Wounded Warrior Project, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So there was always a really good cause, but it was just like, it was, you were drunk.
We're creating a new cause.
Like it was a lot. Cause you'd have like the list on the back of the t-shirt. So the people you were walking with, you're like, what's next? You know, and like, you'd like check them off or whatever as you went, but it was a lot. It was like eight to 10 bars that you went to. And you tried to like drink as fast as you could or take a shot and then get to the next one. Cause the end, it started at Labby's in North Fargo and you walked the entire thing and you ended up at Duffy's on like Maine and University. So it was a lot of walking, but it was really fun and it was always for a good cause. It just got really, really messy for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that being an issue. That's the same thing with, like I said, I was talking about homecoming. I didn't like leaving town during homecoming, or not town, but the house during homecoming, because everybody was drunk by the time it was noon and they were everywhere. And we're like, please don't. Please don't.
You know what? Honestly, I love having dogs. That is such a good excuse, too.
You're like, oh, so sorry. And like,
they've been home for 6 hours. I gotta go. Like, I have to go.
I've gotten good, and some people find it endearing and adorable because I'm like, I would, but I really don't want to. So they just think I'm funny. And they're like, oh, that's so funny. You're like, so hilarious.
No, but
like,
no, I really don't want to.
That's literally what I mean.
I don't want to.
I can't. Why? Because I don't want to. Can't help you right now. But I was thinking too, when we're talking about pub crawls, of like, you go on Pinterest and you're like, holiday drinks. Like, you can find a drink list and a new drink for every holiday.
You can also make any alcoholic drink into a non-alcoholic drink by using Sprite.
But no one wants to.
Or whatever. Like, you can put whatever in there. It's... Yeah, I don't know. It's just hard.
We are talking shit about it, but also partaking in it. Yep. I think that's an interesting thing, too, because I know for a fact that I literally bought one of those little cooler bags. So when we have Christmas in July, I can have my alcohol cool.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to bring alcohol, but I'm also in a situation where I'm getting a room.
Same.
I am staying the night and we are bringing a fuck ton of food, too.
I think that's what it is like just responsible drinking. Like it's fun to have like a casual drink and whatever. And like what I was saying, it changes your mindset and like just a little bit more
loosey goosey.
And like, you're just having some fun and like, just, I don't know, like, the things that hang us up or the things that make us insecure kind of go away a little bit when you're a little buzzy, a little buzzy, a little fuzzy.
They're gonna be our next shirt. A little buzzy, little fuzzy.
Yeah. But I also think that it's, if you have a problem with alcohol, it's acknowledging that. Like, I think I'm proud of myself for doing over the years and knowing that there is going to be a point where I need to check myself before I literally wreck myself.
Well, I know sometimes, and this is probably going to be like, Elizabeth, shut the fuck up. there have been times where you've drank, and we are in a safe location, but I'm starting to sober up because I stopped a little bit, but you have gone, kept going where I want to fight you.
Well, that's how I feel like if I'm at a different level of anyone that's been drinking, though.
Right.
Like, I'm just like, I'm not at your level.
There's been times where other people do worry that you're going to be mad. I'm like, she's not going to remember this. If we're at the point where we are about to fight, it's more than likely you have felt so comfortable for the day because you've put yourself in a situation where you're like, I'm safe, everything's cool, I can drink. And then you've gone a little too tipsy for the night, and you're like, this is not going to be a conversation you remember, because you're like, I am just having fun and I am going to do what I want. And like, you are in a safe space. And like, I will admit 100%, anytime Kayla has gone a little overboard, it's probably because she is in a safer space. Like, that's what I've seen.
I'm around my people that I know, like, if anything were to happen, I'm going to be fine.
Right. So it's, since we've become friends, which I even mentioned before we started recording, like, when did we fucking become friends?
Right.
Like, when was this? But this whole time, I've never seen you where you're like out someplace, not in a safe way. Like, if you are shit-faced, and I've been shit-faced in front of you before, it's usually because of those situations of, we have a hotel room, or we're at somebody's house and you're going to stay the night, or we're in a group and there's two people who are driving us around, so we already have like our parents.
Right. Well, and if you would have known me like 10 years ago, that would not be the case. Or no. If anyone's listening to this that knew me back then, they're going to be like, what? No way. Exactly. Kayla's a mess. What do you mean?
Like, for me, like, that is extreme. Like, those times when you're home, I'm like, man, Kayla's really far.
Yeah. But
where I'm coming from is from a place that really never drank. You drink like once every 3 months for one night, and then you spend $150 because you've been saving up forever, and then you just don't go out again.
Yeah.
And for you, that was a different thing. So this is actually like a huge step in progress. This is one of those things where you're becoming aware before you start. And I think sometimes that's the next step for the people that have the drinking issue, is maybe you cut it back because you're preemptively learning some things that you have to put in place, and then following that.
Like, what worked for me, because nobody can tell me to do anything. Like, that's, I'm the most stubborn person ever, is like, just be curious about it. Like, maybe tonight I'm just going to try to have two drinks.
Right.
With everybody.
Make it a challenge for yourself.
And just kind of observe your friends that maybe drink too much, or that you drink on par with, and then just kind of see what it looks like. And I think that
seeing it is sometimes,
I think that is what got me a little bit, is like, okay, like, if I drink exactly the way he, she, they are drinking, like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
When I'm like,
and then marking how many times you do it, you know, like, okay, maybe you're this friend that you're toe-to-toe with, maybe they go out every 3 months like I did. I'm getting shit-faced, like, this is my 3 month, like, we're going out drinking, do our thing,
right?
But then you're like, wait, I do this every weekend, or I do this more than just the weekend, I look forward to this more than anything else. And just kind of being like, why?
Yeah.
And it's hard to be like, why am I doing this? It's the same thing with my eating, where I'm like, why am I gravitating towards that? What is pulling me there? Why do I feel the need to do this? And realizing some things are like, oh, remember that trauma you're not actually resolving. That's why I always like ask some friends, where they're like, oh, I'm going to go home and have a drink. I'm like, is this because of a thing that's happening? Can we talk about that now so that we've hashed it out, and then you can go drink instead of drinking to avoid it?
Right.
And usually if you've hashed it out, they don't want to drink anymore.
Yep.
Like, I've learned that, where they're like, don't want to hash it out, but you're making them do it. They're getting mad at you. They're having this other feeling. They're hashing it out, and they go home and then they don't drink.
Yep.
Because they're using it as a thing to help them escape. And I get that completely.
Yep.
And then I become the asshole friend, which I am fine with. I tell Taylor that too, where I'm like, tell everybody that I said you can't go. Like, I'll be the person. God, his girlfriend sucks.
I say that all the time to Sam. I'm like, worst. You don't want to do something, just tell him that I'm a bitch and I won't let you go, or I won't let you do it. I say that all the time.
Yeah, I'm like, just tell him. He's like, nah. He has sometimes,
I'm like, I'll be the bitch. I don't care. I don't know any of those people.
The funny thing is he has sometimes done that, and then he texts, and he like shows me the text. They're like, no, she didn't. Knowing full well that I don't give a fuck. I'm like, I don't care.
No, she did. She's really mad this time.
She's really pissed off. She's a whole other person now. COVID fucked her up.
Yeah. You don't even know her now.
Yeah, she's a whole other person. I'll do that for my future kids. I'll be the asshole parent that all your friends hate because you don't want to be pressured into that drinking because you have a class of 39 kids.
Right.
And you have to drink if you're going to go out with them. Like, I am willing to be the shitty person to everybody else to protect them. And I think I'm doing that with friends too, where I'm like, you don't want to go? Well, tell you hang out with me and I'm an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Because I understand sometimes it's really hard not to be pressured into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're saying, hey, don't go toe-to-toe with them. But maybe it's like impulsive. Like, you have to. Mm-hmm. This thing that you have to do. And so sometimes you have to avoid it completely and sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
It's all, you get a therapist, everybody.
Yeah, that's when we back it up quite a few steps, that's basically where it starts. Get a fucking therapist talk it out and figure some shit out about yourself.
And I know, and mine's on alcohol, but for a long time drinking like sugary sodas, I was trying to cut out sodas completely. And I've gotten back to it a little bit here and there, kind of whatever. But for a while there, I was like, I'm not gonna drink any sodas. But the thing I realized that I was missing was like the can opening.
Oh yeah.
And so I got canned lemonade. And so I could still have the little like ch-ch.
Yeah, that sound.
And I need it, like it was the thing that I was craving from the soda now. And instead of like the actual flavors, whatever, like when you're hanging out with friends and now you have to go get like your mixture water together or go to like whatever. It does you feel the odd man out. You feel weird. You feel like that's why like mocktails exist.
That's because why it's so cool that they've come out with like mocktail wine and liquor and
things that look exactly the same.
Yep.
And so that way you can just kind of have that moment. So when I had like canned lemonade and I'd open it, I felt like I was still with everybody else. Yeah. And I think sometimes that is the crutch, is you feel like the odd man out and you're terrified of being that.
Yep.
And I am there with you.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's like a little kid thing of like, you know, like your little child will not fit in. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, but you want to fit in.
Your inner child's.
You want to feel like you belong with everybody and that you're not the odd person out. But yeah, like a lot of companies have made that possible. Like even Liquid Death,
right?
Like the water company, mm-hmm. It looks like a freaking, I would never know if I didn't know what Liquid Death was. I would be afraid of drinking that
while driving. Because I get like pulled over and be like, I'm like, no, it is water.
Yeah, right. It's canned water. It's totally fine. You can get carbonated or non, and it actually tastes really motherfucking good.
Right.
But yeah, like I just think it's really cool that companies are recognizing that and having options available for people that just want to participate and be with their friends and not feel like an idiot and not be asked, why aren't you drinking? Because after a while, people are buzzed up. They're not paying attention to what you're drinking. They just know that you have something in your hand.
And if you're with good people, at some point, they don't give a fuck anyway.
Right.
You know? Because I hated that. That was something that it was glorified in so many movies when like a woman gets pregnant and then they have to pretend to drink because otherwise their friends will be like, oh my God, you're pregnant because you're not drinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
It can't just be your choice. Mm-mm. That you're not drinking. There's a reason why
you're on antibiotics.
Yeah, there's something going on.
Right. But it can't just be like, actually, I don't really want to drink tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I just don't feel like it. Yeah.
Cool. They have lemonade. They have whatever. They have Pepsi products. You want to, like, you know, being there and being supportive. I think that's why so many bars like would used to give free like sodas and free non-alcoholic drinks because...
Which some bars still do.
Yeah, some do.
I think that at Duffy's, actually, because Christina, sorry, Christina, she really likes to drink whiskey. And so she was drinking, she would order a shot of whiskey and then she would order soda.
Yeah.
Like, buy it, because then she can like take little sips of the whiskey as she wants. And then she has her soda that she can just drink. So I'm pretty sure soda was free and she just bought the shot.
There you go.
Pretty sure. But
or they didn't pay for a soda and now they're no longer allowed.
Yeah, not quite sure. But I think that that's really cool, too. It's like, oh, you're DDing or like you're trying to be responsible. Mm-hmm. Like, here's some soda. Have some fun.
So I think we've come a long way as a society. But at the same time, I think a lot of times, especially North Dakota, the binge capital of the world, it's hard. And I think us talking about it is part of the bigger picture of slowly making it normal to just not drink when you go out.
Yeah, you don't gotta.
You don't gotta. You also don't have to go out. If you have friends that are like, oh, come on, don't be a pussy. Like, as soon as they bring out shit like that and be like, well, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I need new friends and you suck.
You kind of suck a little bit. But I also think that that comes with age too. Like, I mean.
Yeah, definitely. We're just old now.
Because even like 10 years ago, again, at like 24 years old, I would have felt pressured to mm-hmm. drink no matter what if I went out. So my other option would be to stay home and be depressed about it.
Yeah. I didn't go out very much. I also, my friend group, which no longer is my friend group really, also had the don't even invite Elizabeth because it's during the school week. And that sucked. Invite your friends even if you know they can't come, please.
Yeah.
Because
that was something
it's so isolating.
That was something too. I've had addicts in my life too that are like, I'm probably gonna say no a majority of the time, but please still invite me. Like right. it just feels icky when I see everybody out and about and I never even knew anything about it.
Right.
You know, and that's not really fair either.
Well, and if you and for me, I try to do this thing. If you are our friend listening and you feel comfortable telling me that you are trying to avoid that, I always try to, if I'm planning something, put out a drink that is either something that can be mixed with alcohol or just drank by itself that is can be put in that red Solo cup that is something more than just water or whatever you brought and gives you something.
You do that. And I think I want to try to do that more too.
I just do it all the time. I always just, I'm like, I'm putting a drink out. I think the last time I forgot too. I was like, I'm so sorry.
No, but I think that that's cool. Cause I mean, I drink, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, if we have like a soda possibly or water, that's good. Right. You know, but it's like, how many people want to sit there and sip water all night?
Yeah. I think the last Christmas in July, I brought Sprites that were to be mixed into fruit punch, but you can have the Sprite or the fruit punch
by itself. Yeah.
And that's how I just went with it.
Yeah.
And then if you wanted to mix Sprite or the fruit punch with alcohol, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was for everybody. I don't like mixing punch already with alcohol. I like having it like put your alcohol in afterwards.
Yeah. Well, and that's how it should be. Like now that I'm thinking about it, that would be really cool to have like, cause most things like any kind of fruity thing anyway, you can mix with a Bacardi or a rum or a vodka or gin or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like you can just put whatever you want in there if you want.
Well, and then I also knew some of our friends had kids. Like I wanted them to have an option that wasn't just like, oh, your mom bought you an apple juice or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, here's some fruit punch. You can join all the big kids and the adults with your own little red Solo cup. Yep. And I think because I wasn't involved a lot of times with a lot of people, I am very aggressively involving everybody when I do it.
Good idea though. Cause then it like doesn't have this like weird divide between people who don't have kids yet and people who do. Cause there, I think there is sometimes of like, you're just not really thinking about me and like my side of things. You're thinking about you and your side. That's great. But like, also, I don't know if I'm going to be coming.
I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Well, and I like it too that I'm going to be drinking at this event that we have, but I'm also the one bringing the non-alcoholic stuff. So it's like consideration crossing that divide of like, well, I will be drinking, but hey,
I still have this stuff.
Here's some of this stuff. I will probably be drinking this at like 1 a.m. when I'm like, stop drinking, Elizabeth. Please have some lemonade or drink a Sprite. Just anything else.
Well, and I think that's the cool thing, too. I think all of our parties that we've had as in our friend group has involved a lot of food.
Oh, yeah.
Which we is food. We're such food people, which I love that because that it almost makes it more of the focus then and not like, oh, we're here taking shots and doing drinks and making all that.
Well, and then we bring our own, like we usually do like the BYOB instead of being like, well, there's going to be an open bar. It's like bring your
right.
And so you bring your like six pack and you move on with your life.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't help that the location of this hotel is like right next to a liquor store, but still.
Hey, that's again, like we can do whatever and like be all knowing and aware of everything. And at the end of the day, we're all adults and we're going to make our decisions the way we're going to make them. Mm-hmm. And if you ask somebody if they need a water and they take it the wrong way, that's their own shit and it's not your problem.
Right. I've had that. With our own group once or twice where I'm asking like, oh, you're getting shwasted. And they're like, no, I'm not. And it's like, it's okay. I know we had one party. I think it was the soup party. Taylor and I went to go get some drinks and stuff. But I think I had asked Britt and her daughter if they wanted anything from the store, because we'll just run to the gas station. And they were a little surprised that I think her daughter was a little surprised. I'm like, she's like, oh, I want like a Sprite or something. I'm like, we'll get you a Sprite. Like, don't like, what would you like to drink? Like, you deserve something too, just because, like, oh, we're going to the liquor store. It's like, well, the liquor store also has Sprite and it's right next to a gas station.
Well, and that's what's cool about this 4th of July. No, not 4th of July. Christmas and July party that we're throwing too is like, we're in a hotel. So like, there's a bar there. I mean, I know it's a bar, but like, you can get food and pop and whatever. And there's also like soda machines and what am I trying to say? Energy drinks and whatever else.
Right. And like I said, we're right next to, well, it's a gas station and a liquor store. So like, you just walk 10 feet.
Yep.
Here's some more. So we put ourselves in a situation where you're not stuck one way or another. Yes, you still have to be responsible because you're really close to a liquor store. But we also are aware of it and being like, hey, don't drink and drive. Don't do this. If you do this, that's on you. And I probably will judge you if you drank and drive and hurt somebody. Like, I'm going to be like, bro, you fucked up. Like, there's no way around that.
Yeah. And it's just, it's being clear-headed and aware enough to make the right decisions, I think.
And the opportunities to make the right decisions.
Right. And at the end of the day too, again, we're all adults and we all have to make the decisions that are best for us. And hopefully that's healthy and considerate for all involved. But sometimes maybe that doesn't happen. And then you got to deal with your choices in one way or another.
And also, if you are drinking, do drink water before you go to bed. God damn it.
It's not that hard.
It's not that hard. Set that up before you go.
Like, make Tylenol too, if you remember.
Put that on your side table before you leave. Mm-hmm. Right there. Boom. Mm-hmm. Done. Beautiful. Your drunk self will appreciate it.
Right?
Thanks for listening to the Thought Dish podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you loved it, please remember to leave a review.
For access to more content and ridiculousness, check out our Ko-fi and become a member.
And look for us anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast.
Until next time, podcast out.